Chapter 10. Another Murder. Mr. Kirwin seemed a gentle man, but he looked at me very severely. The witnesses came forward. One man said that he had been out walking along the sand when his foot hit against the body of a dead man. He thought that someone had drowned, but the clothes were not wet. He carried the body into town. It was the body of a handsome young man, about 25 years old. He had probably been strangled, because there was no sign of violence, except for the black fingerprints on his neck. When the black fingerprints were mentioned, I remembered the death of my brother and became very anxious. The magistrate saw my reaction, and he thought it was because I was guilty. The man then said that he had seen a boat with a single man in it a short distance from the beach. He said that he thought it was the same boat in which I had just landed. A woman said that she had seen a boat with one man inside leave from the part of the beach where the body was found. Mr. Kirwin said that I should be taken into the room where the body lay to see the effect it had on me. I went into the room and looked at the body. The lifeless form of Henry Clerval lay in front of me. I can still feel the horror of that moment. I threw myself on the body of my friend. "Clerval," I exclaimed, "how did you get here? Have I also murdered you, my dear friend? I have already been responsible for the death of two people, but you, my friend, my..." I fell to the floor unconscious and was carried from the room. A strong fever followed. I lay ill for 2 months, almost on the point of death. I heard afterwards that my ravings were terrifying. I called myself the murderer of William, of Justine, and of Clerval. I felt the monster's fingers round my neck and screamed aloud. Fortunately, as I spoke in German, only Mr. Kirwin understood me, but my screams frightened the people around me. I woke up as if from a dream, 2 months later, in a horrible prison cell. Mr. Kirwin came to see me. He looked at me kindly and started to speak. "I hope that the sympathy of a stranger may help you," he said. "It must have been terrible for you to land in a strange country, and the first thing you saw was the body of your murdered friend." I was surprised that he knew so much about me. He told me that after I had fallen ill, he had asked to see the papers I had with me to try to find out who I was. He had found some letters among the papers, including one from my father, and had written to Geneva to tell him what had happened. "Your father came immediately," he said. "He's here now." I was very happy to see my father, and to learn that everyone in Geneva was safe and well. I still did not understand why Clerval had left Scotland and come to Ireland. Did the monster bring him here in his boat? I needed answers, but nobody could give me any, so it remained a mystery. A month later, I was taken to court for trial. It was quickly proved that I was on the Orkney Islands at the time Clerval's body was discovered, and I was set free. My father was delighted at the result of the trial, but I could not share his feelings. I could only see two eyes staring at me. Sometimes they were the eyes of Henry, and other times they were the watery eyes of the monster. My father talked to me of Elizabeth and Ernest, but nothing he said could comfort me. I had to return to Geneva without delay to look after the people I loved and to wait for the monster. My father did not think I was well enough to travel, but I insisted, and soon we were on our way. We sailed to Le Havre in France and then travelled to Paris. Before we left for Switzerland, I received a letter from Elizabeth. She told me how happy she was that I was better and that she would see me very soon. But she also wrote that she was troubled. She reminded me that my parents had always hoped that we would marry. She loved me, and wanted to be my wife. But the thought had crossed her mind that perhaps I loved someone else. If I did, I had to tell her. I didn't have to honour my parents' wishes. She would be happy to remain my cousin and dear friend. All she wanted was my happiness and good health. Elizabeth's letter reminded me of the monster's threat. I will be with you on your wedding night. The monster planned to kill me on that night. I would fight with him. If I won, I would be free. And even if I lost, I would also be free. I did not fear death. Death was less terrible to me than the loss of Elizabeth. There was no point in delaying our marriage. If I did, the monster might find an even worse method of revenge. I wrote an affectionate letter to Elizabeth and told her that I loved her and wanted to marry her as soon as I returned to Geneva. I also said that I had a terrible secret, that I would tell her the day after our wedding day, but until that day, she should never mention it. About a week later, we arrived in Geneva.